You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
And you know, we changed our name just like that. Classic Auto Mall Show, now we are, instead of Classic Auto Mall Podcast.
Why is that?
Why have we changed our name, Steve?
We're going terrestrial for a little bit.
We're
going
to do, well, in addition to what else we do, we're going to go terrestrial. We're going to do the podcast, obviously, still.
Yep.
Still going to do YouTube.
YouTube, which is more of a show than a podcast.
Yeah, and we're still on America's Web Radio, which is based out of Atlanta, which is interstellar.
Whatever. It's weird. It's like a combo of terrestrial, online, terrestrial. Yeah.
And then now we're going to be picked up on a local Philly station.
That's right. WWDB, 860 AM.
WWDB. Yep. You like to say in the radio business, right? Got to get the W. But anyway, we're going to, starting March 1st, you'll be able to catch us on that, and we'll put more information out
March
there.
March 16th.
March 16th. That's there, right. You go. Well, good thing I have it really dialed in.
It's all right. It's in the contract.
I only signed it, but I didn't read it, which is typical. So they probably put some interesting stuff in there that I don't even know.
Right.
About.
That's all right.
Well, that's okay. So anyway, thanks to the Pat Travers Band for that wonderful theme music, and thanks for upgrading our podcast to show. We're going to start calling it a show because we've always felt that we were more of a show than just a podcast. We have a lot of visual. We do YouTube. And we really, if the best place to see or experience, I guess you should say, the Classic Auto Mall podcast is on YouTube, right?
It is. It's a great, the videos are great. You can skim through stuff you don't want to learn about.
You can skip through.
And head right to new inventory or whatnot.
And when we talk about cars in inventory, you'll actually be able to see a picture of said car in inventory instead of just visualizing.
Exactly.
Because, you know, maybe I paint a picture, maybe I don't. Of course, if I'm not painting a picture, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here anyway.
Well,
right?
You pick some good cars and they're usually visual. Stunning, yeah. So it's good to see them.
And I like to pick cars that aren't just all expensive cars or all, you know, muscle cars or all any particular type of car. I just like to pick stuff that I would think would be of interest to our listeners and watchers and viewers.
Yeah, and there's something here for everyone. There really is. The mix of cars is astounding.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And it's everything from later model, you know, Mercedes that are have a performance edge or have a collectability or low mileage or low production, all the way down to, you know, early 1900s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of vehicles in here that are over 100 years old because over 100 years old is now a 1924 Model T.
Right.
Would be 100 years old.
A couple of them.
Hard to believe.
Yeah,
I think more than a couple. What's a, is there a gaggle or?
I don't know. What is it?
I don't know.
There's a flock of Model Ts.
Whatever. And you say, what? Where did we sell cars?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can't believe it. I can't believe you asked me that.
We need a little musical intro for that.
Well, because it's been 2 weeks and this list is.
Oh,
quite
wow.
Long.
Oh, wow.
By the way, if you hear that in the background, that is rain hitting our tin roof. Our flat tin roof.
Hot tin roof.
Hot tin roof. Anyway, the last 2 weeks, where do we sell cars? And the reason we're doing the last 2 weeks is I was out of town last week, so we didn't record.
Right.
Even though I could have called in like our guests, right?
We did a best of, though.
So yeah.
It's awesome. It's always good.
Better than doing a worst of.
Yes. We could do a blooper reel. There could be a blooper reel.
I would think so. So where did we sell cars these past 2 weeks? How about Sun Valley, California, Jackson, New Jersey, York, Pennsylvania, Douglasville, Pennsylvania, Schwenksville, Pennsylvania, Steventown, New York, Akron, Pennsylvania, Magnolia, Texas, Pikeville, Maryland, Pulaski, Wisconsin, Denver, Pennsylvania, Vienna, Virginia, Paradise, Pennsylvania, Qatar. I don't know what city Qatar, but Qatar.
Yep.
Norristown, Pennsylvania, Houston, Texas, Hamburg, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, Bloomington, Minnesota, Eders, Pennsylvania, Plain City, Ohio, Westlake, Ohio, Houghton Lake, Michigan, almost sounds like my name, Mingo Junction, Ohio, Sprayert, New York, Exton, Pennsylvania, Reading, Pennsylvania, Woolrich Township, New Jersey, Quakertown, Pennsylvania, Wellsville, Pennsylvania, Mullica Hill, New Jersey, Las Vegas, Nevada, Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, Friedensburg, Denmark, Gillette, Wisconsin, New Hope, Pennsylvania, Eagle Bridge, New York, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Homestead, Florida, Alvin, Texas, Sparks, Nevada, Simpsonville, South Carolina, Deschler, Ohio, Elgin, South Carolina, Bear, Delaware, Broomall, Pennsylvania, Waterford, Connecticut.
And two corrections.
Yes.
Pikesville, Maryland. There's an S there. And apologies to my UP friends, Houghton, Michigan. Houghton Lake.
Not Howden.
Not Howden. I thought it was Howden.
There's actually a college there. My friend said how they, in the wintertime, would have to put ropes between the dorms.
Right.
And hold the ropes to go because the winds were so whipping and it was icy. And as he said, you gotta like winter or at least know how to deal with it if you live in Houghton Lake.
Yep.
15 states and two foreign places.
Foreign places, Qatar and Denmark.
A lot of Wisconsin, a couple of Wisconsin.
A couple of Wisconsin, a couple of South Carolina. And only one California, I think, which is kind of unusual. And we sell a lot of cars in California. But you talk about a busy couple of weeks. So today is Wednesday of this particular week.
Yeah.
And Monday of this particular week, we sold 7 cars, only to be outdone by yesterday, 8 cars. So 15 cars in 2 days. So Kathy and the girls are kind of busy right now.
Yeah,
so and they're
coming in, too. So I don't know what the inventory stand is right now.
It is 1,045. It seems to be holding at about that number. It's right. It's like we take away, we give, we get, we give, we get, we sell, we take away, we give, we get more.
Yeah.
And before you know it, it's exactly the same.
It is.
Seems like a lot of work just to be the exact same.
It is. Well, because what happens is when you're doing the descriptions, for example, you think, oh, I'm making progress here. I'm catching up. And the next day, 5 cars come in and it starts all over again.
You know, that's the problem. You think, you know, you get, we've had some lean weeks of consignments because the weather.
Yeah.
Weather dictates consignments. And if we don't have bad weather, then we get lots of consignments in. But the minute we get rain or snow or a threat of rain or snow or salt on the roads or slush on the roads or any of that, they stop coming.
Do people just drop them off here and then Monday morning they get posted onto the list? Because it seems like puppy dogs, you know, where they just drop them off at the here, take it. I don't want it anymore. But it seems like Monday mornings there seems to be an upload of cars.
It's a busy day because a lot of the shippers will bring them in. A lot of people have them shipped in. We make arrangements for them if they need help having that done. And then and they have them shipped to our facility here. And then they just randomly show up. So
right.
You know, what we ask you to do is if you're interested in consigning a car, call us, reach out to us, talk to us. We'll send you the paperwork ahead of time, send that back in, and then bring the car whenever we're open. Mm-hmm. Once you've sent the paperwork in, you can bring it in basically any time because it's a quick walk around and we look at the car and bing, bang, boom, we're done.
Make sure the VINs match.
Yeah, make sure the VINs match, which is very important. And you should do that ahead of time. Otherwise, you're going to just get a phone call from us that you're not going to be happy about, that your VIN doesn't match your title. And you think, well, that would never happen. Has any of our listeners ever checked their VIN against their title? No.
Right. Have somebody read it out loud while you're holding the paper and go through it.
Exactly. Because guess what?
It happens.
There's a good chance it's going to be wrong.
There's
and if it's wrong, we can help with that.
Mm-hmm. It's fixable. It's a fixable problem. Yep.
But if you show up without doing your paperwork ahead of time, without checking your VIN, and you just randomly show up with your car, you're going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole operation. So let us know ahead of time that you want to bring a car. We'll send you the paperwork. You send it back to us. Make sure you check the VIN. And then you can come in anytime you want because it's 10 or 15 minutes to walk around.
It takes a few minutes.
The
and then they're free to shop for, to fill. I always say shop to fill that space that you're.
To fill the empty, gnawing hole.
That's right. You know you're going to want to fill it.
Yeah. It depends. Sometimes you hear this comment. Oh, great. I'll get the garage back for my Escalade from the wife. And then you know that that car is going to be sold come hell or high water.
Yeah.
So,
it happens sometimes.
We're thankful that you bring us your cars. We just want to make sure that we have some kind of process in place ahead of time just so we know that it's coming and that because there's nothing worse, and we say this all the time, sitting at the little round table in our showroom trying to remember everything about your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to remember all the good details. And the more you can tell us, the better we can sell it, the better we can, you know, have an opportunity to get to that price that you want.
Some of the descriptions come in and just says, runs good.
Red 4-speed.
Yeah, very little information. So it's good to provide a little story about the car. Really, if all you know is you bought it on so-and-so day and it was a present for somebody, just any little detail really helps the story that we post
on. Grandpa used to take us to get ice cream in it.
Great, yeah.
You know, any stories like that, or that we, my father and I restored it in the garage over 5 years, or, you know, this was my, this was my Christmas gift, or this was this, or we had it because we always wanted one because we grew up with one. I mean, there's all these stories that it's hard to think about sometimes when you're just sitting there trying to write out, okay, it's green and it's got an automatic transmission and it's a 350. Right. And I don't know. If you were at home leisurely filling this out, you might say, oh, you know what?
That's right.
This was this, or we did this, or we replaced the exhaust system and, you know, 2 years ago, or we did whatever. So there's all these things that are important. And save, when you buy a car, save everything. Do not throw away anything, either a new car or a used car or a classic car from a dealer, from an auction, from wherever. Save every piece of, there's nothing that should be thrown out that's paper or written or, you know, scribbled or a notebook or any of that. Keep everything.
Things are definitely more desirable when if there's been work on the car and you have the receipts and you're passing that on to the next owner.
Sure.
They really like that. I mean, I would.
A shrug of the shoulders when was the car repaired or fixed or the engine was rebuilt isn't always the answer.
Or what parts were used in it.
Yeah, and you know, who did it? Was it done right? Was it done wrong?
It helps.
There's a lot of things that you can't see on a car that affect value of the car, and you don't find out until you find out the hard way. So if you can mitigate all that by saying, hey, who did the restoration? Who did the engine rebuild? Who did this? Or where are the receipts? What kind of parts were used for it? Then if you do that, then, you know, then you've got gives a potential buyer, because there's nothing worse than the unknown. And we all have that. I mean, I've bought cars at auction that literally knew hardly anything about.
Right, right.
It seemed like a pretty good deal. It worked out okay. However, it would have been sure nice to have known the trail, the history trail of the car. And some cars have an amazing history trail. From all the way back from when they first bought it back.
Oh yeah, boxes of stuff.
Yeah, it's like almost too much. You can have, you know, all these receipts and everything and notebooks of when you filled it up with gas and when you did this and all that. And it can almost be overwhelming, some of the amount. But most of the cars have limited amount of information. So the more that you can come up with to feed the story of the car, then the more opportunity we have to sell it, the more opportunity we have to get a better price for it. Everybody will be happy.
Yep.
And that's what our we're in the happy business.
That's it. I mean, it really is a happy business, isn't it?
It really is.
The seller and the buyer both walk away happy.
If we can do that, then we've certainly done our job. And, I think that, we do that quite often. And the more information that we have, the better, because we're brutally honest about the condition of cars. We're brutally honest about if there's a problem, if there's a knock in the rear end, if there's a brake squeal, whatever we know about. But guess what? We had it happen the other day. Car left here, ran, start, drove, got to wherever it was going, wouldn't start.
Happens.
It happens.
They're old.
They're old cars, and things happen.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating because, and the good news is we'd taken a video to show the buyer that, look, this thing ran and drove perfectly. We have showed it being loaded onto the truck, which is a really smart thing to do because, you know, it proves that we're not just making it up. We didn't just push it on a trailer and say, oh, well, we're done.
See you later.
Of course, so. Anyway, when we return, we'll get into some of the new inventory that has come in over the past couple of weeks while we're gone. We'll talk about some travels and events we've been to and some upcoming events here at the Classic Auto Mall here in Morgantown, Pennsylvania.
And as Howard Stern plays a little drop-in from O.J. Simpson, he says, it happens.
Exactly.
It happens.
We'll catch you in a couple of minutes.
It's a museum. It's a showroom. It's an experience. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania is 336,000 square feet of rare, custom, and specialty automobiles on display and on consignment. From the earliest production cars to modern exotics, Classic Auto Mall is a feast for the eyes and the memories. Stroll through time in any season in this climate-controlled facility that you simply have to see to believe. Admission is free. Just remember to bring comfortable shoes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back for the Classic Auto Mall podcast. and show.
Show. It's going to be hard to do
that's
that.
It's going to really be
Classic
hard.
Auto Mall show and podcast.
Or just show.
Show. Classic Auto Mall show.
Show. That's what we're going to do. We're a show. We've said it all along.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get on that new MAV TV. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, Greensboro auction where I was at last week.
We paid our dues. 2.5 years of a podcast.
Grinding.
Great guests, great interviews, yeah. And now it's time to expand a little bit and try different venues.
And we got some really great guests coming up. We just have been, it's this time of year is a little bit difficult, not only for us, because I'm traveling, and to try to do the show from a remote place mm-hmm. to somebody else that's remote and both zooming in. I mean, we could do it. It's certainly doable. It happens every day on Zoom meetings. But it's, you know, it doesn't have quite the same feel as what we do here. So we like being here in our little comfort zone. But we're working
on. We've done a remote. We can we know we can do it. I can see doing it at Radnor. I can see doing
absolutely.
It at, take us up to Audrain and other places.
Yeah.
Monterey.
Yeah, Monterey. Oh, now here we go, Monterey. Yeah, it's only $1,800 a night. For a hotel,
if you can get one,
yeah. Actually, what you want to get is a Airbnb. You know, if you can,
book now.
Yeah, book now for 2 years from now, right?
But Greenwich is coming up.
Greenwich is coming up. We could probably do something.
I'm so excited about Greenwich this year because what's the featured mark? Do you know?
No,
Di Tommaso.
Di Tommaso.
I'm very excited about that. So, although they had some very nice ones a couple of years ago when we were up there, they had a Angusta and a Longchamp or Longchamp, and now they're going to have Panteras also. So I'm very excited for Greenwich.
Panteras finally are getting their due in the world.
I'll say.
You know, it took forever. They were $20,000. You could buy one for $20,000 all day long, and wish I'd have bought.
Yep.
5 or 8 or 12 or 15.
For sure.
Of them
as crystal ball.
Crystal ball. You know, because you knew that they would be collectible someday. I don't even think that it was a matter of, like, some things you can't guess their collectability, but that you certainly knew that a Pantera, you know, mid-engine, Italian styling, American power, sleek, sexy, cool wheels, great logo.
Right.
That
body is going to be relevant. You know, 50 years from now,
it's my favorite car in high school.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Still my favorite car.
Yeah, it's until you drove one.
Until you sit in one.
Or tried to get out of one.
It's tough.
So you missed the comedy show the other day when I tried to get into the front engine dragster.
Oh, really? This one over here?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, there it is. There is my nemesis.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you got to climb up on the back tires because there's no other way to get in.
Huh.
Then you got to try to shimmy down. And even if you remove the steering wheel, which we didn't, I mean, and then there's the rear end and the axle and all that, your legs kind of sit on top of.
Wow.
And, it is, I was halfway down into it and Kathy looked at me and she said, you're never getting out of here.
Quit now while you're ahead.
Cause otherwise you're going to be stuck in this thing. And then your claustrophobia is going to kick in and then you're in deep.
Race cars in general, not just dragsters, race cars are tight.
You know, we were watching, Drive to Survive, which started, just recently, the Formula One behind the scenes show. It's season 6 and we've watched all 10 of the episodes in like 3 days cause we're really into it.
Right.
But you watch when those guys put on their driver suit and the baklava and the helmet and the neck thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden your window is about like that. And then you got the bar in front of you and you got the whole halo and.
It is. If you're claustrophobic, race car driving is not for you.
And I didn't know I was claustrophobic until I had a MRI. And and they, you know, put a blanket over you.
Oh, yeah.
And crossed your arms. They put headphones on. What kind of music do you like? I'm like, like classic rock. Oh, good. Yeah. We're all doing this and I got everything. And
you can't make it loud enough to drown out the banging.
No, they cannot.
It's horrible.
And why do they make the damn thing so loud? What's the point? But anyway. So I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, I kind of open my eyes, and I freaked out.
Bad idea.
The button. Out I come, and so I go out to the hallway, and Kathy goes, "You're already finished?" I go, "No, I can't. I can't do it." And she goes, "Well, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You are doing it."
Right.
But ever since then, I've been claustrophobic.
You know what? I've done MRIs, I don't know, for a long time.
Right.
When I was in my 20s, no problem. Right. At some point, you hit this wall, and it suddenly scares a crud out of you. And so now I put a towel over my head. And
I found one thing that helps, too, is to tell them, keep it cool.
Yeah.
If it gets hot in there, then you start feeling like you're suffocating.
Yeah, you're going to get hot anyway.
So at Fox Chase, where I was, they had the one that was like that. Mm-hmm. And then they have one that curves where your head, where you can look up, where you can see like the light
in
the ceiling and all that. Mm-hmm. And so that's much better. But I can tell you, since that time, If my wedding ring gets stuck on my finger, I feel claustrophobic.
Interesting.
It's like, all right, I can't get this thing off. Why can't I get this off? What's wrong?
So what's it like sitting behind an engine? Because that to me was the worst. I don't know who thought of, let's put the engine in front of the driver.
Yeah. Well, and then Don Garlitz thought of putting the engine behind the driver after he practically lost his legs and life.
Okay, yeah.
Sitting with your legs over the rear end, which could also explode.
That could explode. So that's never a good thing. So they're very difficult to get into, though. Mm-hmm. And then you think about going as fast as those things would go. You know, even that one, which is the 1960s Don Long dragster, which I don't really know what that even means, but apparently he's a guy who's well known in the dragster world that built the dragster, I guess. Anyway, in 1969, they were probably, even at that time, going 200 plus miles an hour.
Right. Well, they were doing like 8 second quarter miles.
I would think so.
Crazy.
You know, and you think about going that fast in that car with those little bicycle tires on the front.
It's a different breed.
Yeah.
Different breed of people.
It doesn't require a skill set as in some other sets of racing. And I'm not saying that it doesn't require skill to run a dragster, but basically you're just pointing straight and holding on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not making turns. You're not slowing down, accelerating, decelerating, all that good stuff. But I can tell you that from a standpoint of being scared out of your mind, that's got to do it 10 times more than a NASCAR car, a Formula One car, or anything else.
Adrenaline drunk.
And it's almost all keyed on the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And yeah, when the green light hits, when do you pop the clutch? You don't go early, you don't go late.
If you go early, then you're in trouble. So,
red light.
So anyway, back to this MAV TV. It's this new network. I say new, it's probably been around for a couple of years, but new to me.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. Owned by Forrest Lucas, who has Lucas Oil, who has an amazing facility in Wheatland, Missouri, near where we lived, in Branson, probably a couple, 3 hours from where we live, maybe 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And, he's built this, drag boat, lake and indoor arena and dirt tracks and just really this cool facility. Has started this MAV TV and Greensboro Auto Auction in Greensboro, North Carolina. Does three auctions a year, and they actually, for this year, MAV TV came in and did kind of the a la Barrett Jackson and Mecum, where they had, people discussing the cars and color guys and announcing and analyzing the inventory and all that. So, be interesting to see. I haven't seen it yet. But MAV TV, you can find it on Facebook TV was one of the places you could find it. I didn't know that there was YouTube.
YouTube TV.
Yes, I have
it. And the difference between that and YouTube TV is like, basically Dish Network, except it's over the internet.
Sure.
So, I didn't even realize there was such a thing.
All kinds of outlets these days.
It's like
overwhelming. It's a little overwhelming.
I'm going to stick with my Dish Network.
And it's the only one that you actually get the networks on, ABC, NBC,
right,
CBS.
Exactly.
But MAV TV launched in 2004.
Well, there you go.
As Maverick TV.
Well, there you go. And then they shortened it to make it cool.
Yeah, which is cool.
Anyway, some of the new inventory in. So if you get a chance, check it out and check out Greensboro. We'll talk about that here in a minute. What was I looking at? Oh, I got distracted.
You talked about the dragster.
Yeah, we haven't done new inventory.
New inventory.
And that's what I'm doing.
Let's do it.
How about the 2011 Dodge Challenger SRT8 392 convertible?
Convertible.
Billet silver metallic over black. It's American Coach Customs conversion. So it wasn't factory built as a convertible. But apparently these companies nowadays really have it down to a science.
Sure.
Structurally, they get the car just right. They know what they need to add and not add and all that. This thing is pretty cool looking though with a convertible. I don't think I've ever seen one before.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got 36,000 actual miles. 6.4 liter procharged Hemi V8, 5-speed automatic. The 392 was the cubic inches of the engine. Mm-hmm. So, which is an odd thing, but, not that odd, I guess. Chrysler always does odd. It's not 318.
Right.
You know, all kinds of 426 Hemis and.
Yeah.
So the Mopar, nomenclature is different than most. They don't follow the.
They don't round it up or round it down. It's just
my buddy,
whatever it is.
My buddy Bill gets mad at me when I say, he'll go, how much horsepower is that car got? I'll go 498. He goes, why don't you just say 500? I mean, seriously, what are you saying 498 for?
Sounds cool though.
It sounds cool that you know. Well, I can never remember the torque and horsepower ratings of my Mercedes coupe. And it's like 640. I think I put it in my phone to remember.
I like the ones that are where the horsepower and the torque are exactly the same.
500. Yeah.
Right.
And then you can't forget that, right?
That's always good.
Anyway, this thing is really cool. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
And that billet silver metallic is a really pretty color.
I think you'd be the only convertible 392 at the car show. For
I
sure.
would think so. Yep. I mean, and I don't know what the conversion had to cost, but mm-hmm. man, that was probably cheap, I would imagine.
Right.
And this thing is in excellent condition. I mean, it looks very well taken care of. And as most cars that you find that are, you know, obviously expensive, a lot of people don't want to damage a car that's, you know, 80 or 100. I don't know what this car was new. I got to imagine it 80 grand.
Probably, 90, yeah.
Probably more.
Yeah.
I mean, with the ProCharge, Supercharger, mm-hmm. The convertible, that was probably a $20,000 to.
Yeah, what were base 392s were like low 40s to begin with.
Right,
probably,
right.
Yeah. So. In 2011.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting car. And they're on our website, classicautomall.com. You can find this and all the other cars we're talking about. Also new inventory, the 1965 Chevrolet Chevelle Malibu hardtop, Regal Red over Red. Rebuilt correct L79 327 mm-hmm. cubic inch V8, which doesn't mean that it's the original motor.
Right.
It's correct for the car, but more than likely not the original motor. But that, you know, these cars with a 327, 350 horse were pretty interesting to drive. Had a lot of power for that car.
Yeah, I haven't driven this car.
Well, you need to get busy.
Or too many others, but I love this body style most of all. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. And it's the year I was born, so.
Oh, there you go.
Got to have one of those in the stable.
Absolutely. Just so you can say that's, you know.
Same year.
Same year. It's got a Muncie M20 manual tranny, and it's in the registry, the L79, which is the nomenclature architecture, if you will, for the 327, yep. And a 12-bolt posi rear end. Mm-hmm. So, but this car was purchased from a noted Malibu enthusiast. Who did this car, I think, just to make it, you know, kind of his tribute to the L79s or whatever. And interesting that it's actually in the registry, which sometimes you don't get cars without the correct engine in the registry. However, mm-hmm. many of the AC Cobras and the Shelby Cobras are not the original motor. And they're in the Shelby Cobra registry.
Sure.
Because, I mean, listen, they were race cars.
And it's part of the history of changing the engine.
They were built to change the engine.
Sure.
You changed the engine for a number of reasons. You needed more power and you couldn't get it out of that engine, or that engine you blew up, or, I don't know.
Right, right. They weren't show cars back then. They were race cars.
So they were utilities,
yep.
You know. It's like replacing a blade on your razor blade. And you know, when it's time, it's time.
That's
you
it.
Replace it, and you didn't think, oh, gosh, will this be less valuable in 25 or 30 years? No, you didn't think that at all. Of course not. So anyway, interesting car. The next new inventory, 2009 Pontiac G8 GXP sedan, sport red metallic over onyx, 7,800 actual miles.
Unbelievable car.
It is an amazing car.
This is right up my alley.
Right in your wheelhouse.
Right in my wheelhouse. Love these cars.
Only 169 of these built.
In this spec. Yeah,
in this spec. Right, the 6.2 liter LS3 V8, Tremec T56 six-speed manual, which is what you need. Showroom fresh and ceramic coated. This thing is a four-door Corvette, they call it.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's basically a four-door muscle car, really modern sedan, muscle sedan.
And I would imagine that most people don't even know what the heck it is. So, it's one of those things that you have to see and go, wait a minute, did they make that? It's like, listen to that rain.
I know.
I hope we can not hear that in the speakers. And it just got dark in here.
We're good.
Anyway, we will be back with the Classic Auto Mall show in just a couple of minutes. We'll see you then.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE, or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show. 2009 Pontiac G8 GXP we were talking about before we went to break. And this thing is so cool. Brembo brakes. And it was cheaper than a similar performance BMW by a significant mm-hmm. amount of money. I mean, 400 horsepower was what this thing had. And I think that's probably the same as an M5 of the same era.
By the way, it still has 400 horsepower.
Right.
You said that's what this thing had.
Had. Oh,
still,
past
still,
tense,
has, still has yeah. it with 7,800 miles.
Well, maybe it's 398.
Yeah, right.
You don't know. Have you put it on a dyno?
It might be more. They might have underscored it, too, a little bit.
They might have. Yeah. They did that back in the day.
That's right.
Those LS6 Chevelles were highly underpower rated, as were any of the 435, 427 Corvettes or any of that stuff.
That's right.
They were.
GM's got this thing where they get this infighting sort of thing mm-hmm. where you can't outperform a Corvette.
Right.
So they could sell Corvettes. The same thing happened with the Grand National and the Cyclone and the Typhoon, all that. Everything was underrated horsepower wise.
Yeah. The V6 Trans Am turbo that
right,
had the
right.
same motor in it. That was always a big deal about that. And they didn't want it to be the four-door Corvette that had, which is crazy.
Yeah. No.
Because I would think that you just build whatever is in demand.
Right.
You know, and doesn't matter if it undercuts Corvette. We're, you know.
Yeah. This is in line with the Impala SS with the same drivetrain, mm-hmm. basically.
So the one of 69 was bathed in sport red metallic. I actually made 1,829 of these.
Yeah, this is like the GNX of the G8 world. Basically.
Exactly.
It's basically what it is.
And if you know, you know. When guys know, when you see them walk up to it, and they go, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's nice. We like that a lot.
Yep, super rare.
Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for something like this, I'm surprised it's still here. I don't imagine it's going to be here much longer.
No, it's beautiful.
Oh. And the red color, and the red color is beautiful as well, too. You know, it's, you don't see them, mostly you see them in what, black, silver?
Yeah, silver's a big one.
Yeah.
And they made a bright red also.
Right.
You see G8s and black and all the typical GM colors after that.
Yeah. And they ain't making Pontiacs anymore.
That's right. It's an orphan brand on top of everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
But it's basically a Chevy engine. And so you can get it serviced.
You can get it serviced at any of your local General Motors.
Not basically a Chevy engine.
It is a Chevy engine. Well, we're getting really tight on this grammatical error.
Well,
we're
on terrestrial radio now. We got
to
be,
have to be very, very accurate and enunciate and all those good things, right? We can't just be loosey goosey and
right.
talk about stuff that we want to talk about. Next in line is another speed demon. The 2002 Mazda MX-5 Miata convertible. This
yeah.
thing, yellow and black and over black and charcoal gray. 6.2 liter LS2. Tremec TKX manual. Ford 8.8 inch rear. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Custom interior and the Trick Flow heads.
Yeah.
This car is, man.
I'm sure this car is faster than the GXP.
I gotta imagine it's way faster.
It's basically the same engine in a car that's half the weight.
Whoever wrote this, would this have been Peter still writing this at the time?
Yes, yeah. Yes, right.
He said, this car performed and handled flawlessly and handled the test track with three tires tied behind its convertible top. That's pretty good.
That's clever.
I like that. They have removed the heat and AC because there probably wasn't enough room in the engine compartment for the said heat and AC
right.
controls and
yeah.
compressors.
And if you're tracking this car, for example, if you want to go SCCA or something.
You really
like
don't
that,
need it.
Who needs it? Right.
It's
just cool. You're cool without it.
Cool.
See that?
Literally. Yeah.
Not a Sunday driver, basically.
No. No, not something that I imagine to get a little warm with that LS engine
sure.
sitting right there in front of you and a hot day. Although the yellow would reflect or deflect the heat from the
this
sun.
This is like the modern interpretation of the Monster Miata, which we've had here. We've had a Monster Miata.
We did have
with a 302 Ford in it.
And what year was the Miata, Monster Miata?
Yeah, it was first generation Miata. 91.
Mm-hmm,
92.
Yeah. So this was the next iteration
yeah.
Of it. And it's very nicely done.
It is really a nice build. It's not like thrown together. It's
no.
really thoughtful.
And it's fast. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's really, really fast. And it's something that nobody would, they would know from the exhaust tone, but they wouldn't know just by looking at it. It looks.
It's got hood pins. It's got custom wheels. They're fatter, obviously. Big exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you know. Otherwise, it just looks like a Miata.
A bright
yellow Miata with a roll cage.
Very bright yellow
Miata.
Roll
bar.
A lot of people would know the difference between a 2-inch exhaust and a 3-inch exhaust.
Right,
any of that kind of thing that you and I would see and go, oh, my God, look at that.
Right.
No, most people wouldn't even.
But you're right. It's the sound of this car that sets it apart. It's kind of like the Alpine we have over there.
Absolutely.
Kind of looks tame until you start that thing up.
And then you go, ooh, that thing is.
Something going on under there.
Well, something.
I lived in Nashville for a minute, and the Mazda Miata had just come out.
Right.
And it was the little rich girl car, because the girls were going at the Vandy. They were all like, I got a Mazda Miata, and I'm going to the Vandy game this weekend. Are you going to the Vandy game?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you get a chance, check it out. On our website, there's 100 pictures of most every car on the website that shows not only the normal exterior and interior and trunk and engine compartment, but significantly underneath the cars. We show, you know, probably 20 or 25 pictures.
Sure.
And then we're adding some video to some of these listings as well, too. So,
awesome.
And if there's not a video and you would like a video, you just have to ask. Just call up and speak to one of our car specialists. They'll be glad to help you with whatever you need. Do a walk around at FaceTime or do a video that they can send to you. I know we're looking at a car down in Florida, and the guys said, hey, can we just do a walk around FaceTime? And he said, yeah, sure. That sounds great. So,
that's great.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that it just gives you peace of mind that, listen, if you take a video and send it to somebody, or if there's a video that's been taken, well, when was it done? You know, if it was done 2 years ago, it might be a little different car than it was 2 years ago. So that's why people are, a lot of times, very adamant about wanting a current video or a FaceTime that's, you know, absolutely current, that you can walk around and look at the car and point out good, the bad, and the ugly, just like we do.
Sure.
And it's important because a lot of times pictures don't always show everything that you're trying to point out. Whereas with a video, you can manipulate it and maneuver it to the point where you're actually going to see the maybe imperfections or orange peel and paint or some rock chips that you may not see with a still photograph. May not capture all that. And you don't have the luxury of making a still photograph move around.
Right, right.
And that way you can get different lights and angles, and where you see that light hit it, maybe it alerts you to something else about the car that you didn't notice before. Because there are so many. The problem with looking at a car, especially if you're looking at it in person, is that it's shiny and it's pretty and it's hard to see the flaws. You really have to make yourself look for the flaws. Of course, that's what we do. You know, I always jokingly say I can't get out of my car at Walmart without critiquing the Suburban next to me with the rust holes in it. You know, there's some rust over there.
Yeah, we're real good, and they're good in the photo booth of finding those little imperfections, and of course we have to write them up. And but there, some of them you wouldn't see at 20 feet. You would not see them.
That's the thing that's funny. I had a guy one time who bought a car from us, and he got the car at home, and he goes, I can't even find that. Where was that?
Right.
He was like, I can't see that scratch or that rub or that any of that. Where did it go?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's there. And the problem with a photograph is that if you zoom in on that, you know.
You don't know where it is.
It's hard to tell where it is.
Yeah.
And it looks huge.
Yep.
Because a 1-inch scratch that fills the whole frame of the camera looks like it's a 10-inch scratch.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's all relative, folks.
Yep.
So make sure that if you'd like to see a video, we can do it, like I said, one or two ways, and that'll give you a good idea of what the car is. We can do a cold start video. We can do a from the exhaust, from under the engine compartment, everything that we can do to give you that peace of mind to buy it.
Sure.
Other new inventory, the 1953 Jaguar Mark VII Saloon.
Very cool.
Very cool car. This is about as elegant of a car as you'll ever see. Black over red, 31,000 actual miles on this car. It's the JCNA Concours Award winner, too, which is the Jaguar Club of North America. It's got British style and luxury. The toolkits are included. It's got the Heritage Trust Certificate, which is like the Marty Report or the PHS doc for British cars.
British cars.
And it's nice to have that because it tells you what the car was born with, what it wasn't born with, that kind of thing. And that's always nice to know. You know, it's not always – listen – there are people buy cars for collectability reasons. People buy cars to drive cars. People buy cars just to look at. There's all different segments of the hobby of what people do and don't do. And you just got to figure out which part of the hobby you want to be in and then buy accordingly.
Right.
Like if you want to buy a car as a driver, don't buy a Grand National with 300 miles on it. That's not a car that you drive. That's a car that you just put away and it's beautiful and original and it will always be that way. But you don't put miles on it. You buy one with 60,000 miles on it, and then you drive the crap out of it. You know, you just drive it.
Yeah.
And don't care.
That's right.
Because it's the value is
unless
not going to
be. Unless your resources are like, oh, 300 mile routine. Right. I'm gonna put miles on. I'll be the one to put miles on it. Yeah. I don't care.
And when I'm dead and gone, I don't care.
Right. Who cares? Right. Who cares? There's some people like that, but other stuff's museum quality. You know, there's Concours level cars here that we have. You know, at the mall, and there's driver quality.
Absolutely.
So, and everything in between.
Yeah. And you know, people say, well, do all your cars need to be perfect? No, they don't need to be perfect. Not everybody can afford a perfect car.
Right.
You want a perfect Grand National. I don't know why I keep using that as a, because you like Grand National. You find a perfect one with 300 miles, you're going to pay 80, 90, 100 grand?
Easily.
Whereas you could buy a driver quality one for 20 grand, right?
Well, no, maybe they're in the 40s. They're in the 40s.
Are they 40 now?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm so out of the loop when things
on
like
Grand Nationals.
Sometimes. No, just in life in general.
I know they're expensive because I sold mine for 11 grand, and as soon as I did,
the market went,
happened every time I sold a car. So
well,
don't take my advice.
Yeah, and you know what? Don't buy it as an investment unless that's what you do, and that's your savvy, and you know the business. Don't buy it as an investment. Buy it because you love it. Buy it. You know, even cars that Kathy and I buy to resell, we always make sure that we like it.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if God forbid we can't sell it, then at least we're not stuck with something that we hated to begin with.
Right.
Then we'll really hate it. You know, you talk about hating a car worse as if you buy it to sell it and can't sell it.
Right.
And then you hated it to begin with, and now you really hate it.
Really becomes an enemy.
Go away. And, and she's always, and it's like, okay, sorry. I went a little overboard there.
Are you selling something?
No.
Okay.
Well, my Grand Prix.
The Grand Prix. That's right.
I got the Grand Prix because I got to make room for the new car coming from Florida.
Okay.
Well, not new.
Is that a done deal too?
No, it's not done.
All right.
The Grand Prix is the one I was at the auto show, right?
Yeah, the red.
God, that's a car.
Eight lug wheels, tri-power, 389,
awesome.
red, a special order factory color.
Can I work it out in trade?
Yes, you can. We'll see you for the next 40 years.
Stay late.
Stay late. Come early, stay late. They are really cool cars. A lot of people didn't even realize that Grand Prix were being built back then.
Mm-hmm.
I think 62 may have been the first year, maybe even 61. And then 67, interesting thing about the Grand Prix, which I think I've said before, is the only year for the convertible.
Grand Prix.
And we had a triple black 67 Grand Prix. It was 67.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Prix, triple black 428.
Wow.
This car was a beast.
Is this when you were a kid or just
you
owned one?
Yeah, just not too terribly long, 10, 12 years ago.
Okay.
What a beast that car was. And again, the only year, and had the hideaway headlights and the hood tack. Mm. And just checked all the right boxes for the gentleman's luxury cruiser.
Right, right.
So anyway, but back to this British car. What a beautiful car. And last but not least, the 1931 Lincoln Model K 201 Sport Touring Phaeton Copra Drab. That's the name of the exterior color. And black over chocolate interior.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilt 384 cubic inch V8. Mostly unrestored. It's got basically a brand new top. Runs and drives really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy bought this car, and they're mostly aluminum bodied.
Okay.
These cars.
Interesting.
And he bought this basically, the engine was in a basket, in parts boxes, and put it all back together. Really didn't do much exterior wise to it because he just didn't want to mess with it. You know, he just, some things are better off left, not toyed with. And that's what he did with this. And it runs and drives like you wouldn't believe. Whisper quiet, starts right away, goes in and out of gear easily, just a lot of fun to drive. So check out any of these on our website, classicautomall.com, and check it every day because you never know what's going to be next.
That's right.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It's a museum. It's a showroom. It's an experience. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania is 336,000 square feet of rare, custom, and specialty automobiles on display and on consignment. From the earliest production cars to modern exotics, Classic Auto Mall is a feast for the eyes and the memories. Stroll through time in any season in this climate-controlled facility that you simply have to see to believe. Admission is free. Just remember to bring comfortable shoes.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show. Hey, what? Well, no, we didn't pick up on whatever
okay,
what
good.
You said. I don't even know what you said. But I'll go back and
all
listen.
The good jokes are during the breaks.
Don't tell people.
Not really. Not really.
Boy, you should have been here last night. Oh, man.
What? Like,
well, you just... That's what that means. You know, you should have, you missed whatever. You're just late for whatever good happened.
I see.
Entertainers do that. You know, you should have been here last night. We had, Garth Brooks just showed up. Right. You know, everybody there that night is going, well, God.
Don't say that.
I like the late night shows where they say, and tomorrow night it's going to be, oh, thanks.
Yeah. Now I was planning on being out, but now I have to be in. Of course, you don't have to be in anymore because then you can just record it.
Yep.
You can put it on the old DVR.
That's exactly right. DVR.
Yeah. That's what it's called on my Dish Network.
Is it still called DVR?
Well, on my Dish Network.
Okay.
Yes.
I literally watch zero television.
Mr. VCR.
I watch YouTube.
Yeah.
Mr. Beta.
Betamax.
Beta, yeah. That I know.
So, I was at somewhere recently. We were talking about car stuff. Imagine that.
Yep.
And the subject of deer whistles came up. Does everybody know that's listening what a deer whistle
is?
They
I'm guaranteed people don't know.
So there are these little plastic whistles that are activated by air that you put on the front bumper of your car or whatever vehicle you have. And it makes a sound that scares the deer away,
Or gets their attention. Right.
Well,
why would you want to scare deer away?
Hit a deer.
Sorry.
Have you ever hit a deer before?
Yes, I have, and we're in Pennsylvania where it's probably the most deer hits in any state. So people in other parts of the country don't have problem with white-tailed deer overpopulations. But we do, and so deer whistles are commonly sold.
Yeah.
And it's an inaudible tone.
That's right.
Supposedly. It's like a dog
whistle.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't hear it. And in Missouri was the same way. And the reason that they're so prevalent and deer are so out there, and we see them all the time on the roads because we're taking their environment.
Yes and no.
Well, we are. I mean, we're making developments where the woods that used to be woods are now houses, so they can't hang out there.
Pennsylvania has a lot to do with the game commission's tagging rules.
Whose side are
But I've heard it for so long because they also, it's just an overpopulation. There's no predators, that kind of thing. It's a whole dynamic.
So, guess what we found out about deer whistles?
What about? They don't work.
Wow. All the research is done that they don't work. There was a study done in 2003. It's not loud enough or enough distance for them to hear it. There was a study at the University or Iowa State University. Inconclusive data on the deer whistle's effectiveness. Yeah, people still buy them.
Yes.
Because it's like a scarecrow for giraffes in your backyard. If a giraffe never shows up, then it had to have worked, right?
So this is interesting. So the deer whistle then is made to work at a distance. So the deer 300 yards down the road hears it and says, oh, I better get out of here.
Better not run in front of this car.
But normally they freeze up.
Right.
Anyway.
And if they're in the middle of the road.
Right.
That happen. I had a deer stare me down in the middle of the road.
Oh, sure.
A big buck with big rack. And, of course, everybody said, you should have hit it.
No.
And I've hit a deer before. But anyway, he walked halfway out into the middle of the road and turned and looked at me and just, this is the biggest deer I've ever seen in my life. Right. I just swerve around him.
Just drive around him slowly and wave.
Well, the ones that get hit are usually the ones that are trying to cross in front of you.
Right.
Running
in a herd,
In a herd. But I love now there's places that have these bridges that go across highways that are grass covered try to force the deer into
They're called wildlife corridors. I was involved with that in California, as a matter of fact.
I didn't know that.
Oh, man, talents. Yeah.
So many things we don't know about you. Is there any prison that we didn't know about?
No, there's no prison, but hitting a deer is an unpleasant experience. Hitting any animal is an unpleasant experience. Not for that, not only for them.
But for the bodily fluids that end up all over your car.
The car... It absolutely destroys cars, totals cars, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, so...
And it can kill you, by the way.
Absolutely, because if that... Either you swerve to miss it and then you go off the road.
That's right.
Or the hoof goes right through the windshield and cracks you in the skull. Or the antlers.
Yeah.
Stab you. And stab you right through the heart.
It's bad.
We should probably get our listeners to let us know at podcast at Classic
Auto. Change that?
Oh, we will.
No, I think you can save that.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to save that.
Podcast at ClassicAutoMall.com.
It has
but let us know if you've had deer whistles and have you still hit a deer.
Yeah. If you've hit a deer with deer whistles, does the manufacturer give you your $11 back? So I had, Mel Tillis gave us a Cadillac one year as a gift. It was a wedding present.
Really?
A Christmas present, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, not a bad gift. It was kind of an ugly Cadillac.
Right.
But it was still a Cadillac. Yeah. And so I'm on my way home out in the woods, out in the country when we lived in Missouri, and I came around the corner doing about 80 miles an hour, and there's a deer came right out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. And there was deer stuff.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really
it's like lasagna.
Yeah.
Yeah. on the highway. Or hamburger all over the highway.
And fur. And so, I knew I'd never hit a deer before. And so somebody had told me many, many years ago, or prior to this, that, oh, you have to call the game commission mm-hmm. if you hit one and kill one. So I called the sheriff's department. I didn't know who to call. I just called the sheriff's department. I said, look, I just hit a deer. And the first thing the guy said to me, he goes, you won't keep him?
Oh, wow.
I go, really? I didn't, you know, he died in a traumatic state. He's probably a little tense, so his meat will be tough. And plus, I don't even care. It's gamey anyway.
Right.
I don't even care for that stuff. So, I'm not a venison guy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I love venison.
Oh.
And goose, too, by Canada goose.
I like Canada
good
goose,
stuff.
Too, and I like dove and quail.
I won't kill them, but I'll eat them.
But I'll eat them. Because, you know, a clean hand is a...
I'm not into that, but... Yeah, the insurance. I think you're going to talk about the insurance and all that.
Well, there are coverages that you can get that are, you know, unexpected hazards, including damage from wildlife collisions.
Interesting.
And we've talked about it before where a deer just comes into the side of a car.
Yeah.
And that's happened, you know, to many people
right.
where the deer hits you instead of you hitting the deer. But the thing is, don't panic with any situation. Don't panic, you know. Apply the brakes, slow down, brace yourself, and if you hit him, you hit him.
Yeah.
You know, but don't try to swerve around him, because guess what's going to happen? You're either going out of control, down into the field, or into the trees, or wherever it is, or the woods, generally, because that's where they're hanging
that's
out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now you're in the woods, and then the deer will eat
you. It's the same with small animals. Just hold on to the wheel and keep going, because the worst thing you can do is swerve.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, they don't cost very much, these deer whistles. They may be, I don't know, $20 or something,
right.
So... You know, would you might as well just go ahead and get one just in case if it worked, you know? I mean, the worst thing is that it didn't work, you know?
There's got to be another way, though, like some kind of a radar.
Right.
Some kind of modern, you know.
Laser pointer that drills a hole through their skull and they die on the side of the road. Is that?
I don't know. I get one of those semi-horns for the car, you know?
Yeah,
you ever
just
see those?
Loud.
Yeah, air horn.
Air horn.
Yeah.
As loud as it possibly can
be. Got to
be
other ways.
We have an air horn on your sound effect there. But,
oh, do we? Where is that air horn?
I don't know.
I forget about this.
I didn't know we had that.
You guys are going to have to.
Yeah, you should be there.
Tell me. I don't see it. I see.
We have an aruga. We have an aruga.
Aruga. And we have cha-ching. And we have.
There are several pages of that. We need to get. We need to move that into the control room.
I need a bigger box. Bigger box.
Yeah, see, I'm seeing air gibberish.
All right.
Oh man, there's
0.0.
Why do I not know about these toys? Dough.
Dough's good.
No soup for you. That was on the other night. No soup for you.
Was it?
That was so
classic.
Great.
Classic.
Yeah, so
Seinfeld.
Classic. So anyway, so the deer whistles, the you know, they probably don't work. But if it makes you feel better, and maybe you think that you may avoid an accident, listen. When a deer comes out in front of you, there's not much you can do.
Not
really, especially if you're moving at highway speed.
Everybody says it happens so fast. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's a split second.
Well, and that's the difference between, you know, being in control of a car, knowing like if you're in a skid and it's slick outside and you've got the brakes completely to the floor and the car is plowing forward. The thing to do is let off the brakes. The problem is that most people, that's counterintuitive to what you're thinking.
Sure.
You push the brakes harder.
Yeah.
That'll make it stop.
Mm-hmm.
No, it won't.
Mm-mm. Right.
You've got to free those wheels up and let them start making a turn, whether you're in snow or ice, probably not.
Right.
But rain, it's happened. I mean, you keep that foot buried and that car is going to keep plowing
well,
straight.
Well, that's what ABS does is it pulses it for you because most people freeze and just.
Yeah, just keep. Ramming it harder, and that doesn't work. So
I just thought of this walking through earlier today, how the vehicles change because one is sold and another takes its place. And I thought, is there any vehicle? Maybe we can do this on a future show. Is there any vehicle Because you just mentioned this with Mel's gift. It was a Cadillac. It was an ugly Cadillac, but it was a great Cadillac.
Right.
Is there any car that if you got a classic vehicle, you would go, it's nice, but I would like to trade it off for something else?
Well, and that happens sometimes. Now, we don't take trades here, but we take trades in the fact that we'll help you sell your car if you're out of garage space and you want to bring your car back to us and we'll sell it and buy something else. And that way you know that your car is safe and sound here, and mm-hmm. and it, but it, we don't take actual trades, because trying to do a trade with two consigners is like trying to herd cats.
It just it won't work, and we get asked all the time, can I trade my so-and-so for?
And the problem is that most people want to trade two unlike cars.
Oh, yeah,
that guy's got a Ferrari and wants to trade it for a hot rod.
Always.
And the hot rod guy goes, I don't want a Ferrari. Uh-huh. Or the Ferrari guy goes, I don't want a hot rod.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, so, or a project car for a done car or any, we get
well,
that.
Well, they think
lot.
We own the inventory, so we can take a trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a dealership.
Yeah, we would if we were a normal dealer, but we're not. We're
right.
a consignment dealer.
That's right.
And therefore we don't own these vehicles and therefore can't make the decision. And even when we've tried to do it in the past, it's just become a disaster. It just never worked out well and everybody was unhappy.
List it with us. We'll sell it. Then you can buy. Then you can shop.
Yeah, then you shop all you want.
Like we said earlier, you'll spend 10 minutes here with the paperwork and then go.
An hour?
Spend a couple hours in the mall.
Nothing better than when we give you a check and the guy walks out of our office and then he comes back and hands the check back.
It's happened.
Well, I just can't live without this particular car. So anyway, if you have any questions, you can go to podcast@classicautomall.com or you can call us at 888-227-0914. And ask to speak to a car specialist if you're interested in one of the cars. They can help you in any way. If they don't know the answer, they'll find it out. We have a lot of smart guys here, and there's guys who are good at certain things and guys that know certain things. And and if you call in and get the ball rolling, we'll get those answers for you. We may not know everything about every – we've got 1,000 cars. We're not going to know everything about every
car. It's impossible.
Yeah. Well, it's not impossible, but if you're – you know, if you're,
I mean
you- – Rain Man.
I was going to say, you got to be a savant.
You got to be a little savant-esque.
Yeah, to know everything about every car in here. What is that? The Rickenbacker we just...
The Rickenbacker we just...
Is it Knickerbocker or Rickenbacker?
Rickenbacker.
It's a Rickenbacker.
Yeah, with an R.
And that thing, the green thing over there, which is a Coal.
A Coal, which is very, very rare.
I mean, how many people know about Rickenbacker and Coal?
I knew about Rickenbacker, but I certainly didn't know about Coal.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. And the guy who owns it, his name is Cole.
Yes, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think they're related. I think he probably bought it because it's a Cole.
Yeah, he did.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's no Sapphire. And I don't think there's a Howden car.
Otherwise, or a person.
I'd have
another person. Of
there's a Holden in Australia. It's
a Holden.
Holden. Australia Chevrolet.
Yep, exactly. General Motors. That's what's the GTO, the last generation of the GTO was built on the architecture
and the
of the
GXP
Holden.
We talked about
and
today.
The GXP was as well,
G8
too.
Also a Holden.
The G8 was a Holden as
have
well,
you ever
too.
Seen a Pontiac Beauville?
Yeah, they were Canadian.
A Canadian Chevelle.
Yeah. Yep. Canadian Chevelle. So they couldn't say Chevelle, I guess. So. Well, I had more stuff to talk about and I didn't even get to it.
You didn't get to it?
I didn't get to the Carfax stuff. And
well, then we won't run out of shows.
Well, what I was going to talk about was Carfax and how important it is that if you have an accident and it's not your fault, that the other insurance company owes you for diminished value of your car. And people don't realize that and they think that, and the insurance company will tell you no. But that's BS, because not only should they fix the car, they should pay you for the difference between what your car was worth prior to it having no bad Carfax till now.
Right.
And when you have a damn, you know, most people say, oh, it was just a minor incident. And Carfax now is starting to track the type of incident
that's right.
it was. Still doesn't give everybody 100% peace of mind. If you have an accident, whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, take lots of pictures of it. So you, when you go to sell that car, whether it be to an individual or a dealer, you can say, look, this is all that happened. There was a scuff on the bumper.
Yep.
There was a taillight broken, and that's that. So,
absolutely. Good advice.
Yeah. Well, I'm here for Mr. Advice. So anyway, catch us next week. We'll have a guest in here, I hope, and I'll maybe do a better job of that. And in the meantime, you can go on any of the sites that you like to listen to your shows and podcasts, and don't forget YouTube. We have a great channel that's got lots of content on there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see you next week on the Classic Auto Mall Show.
This has been the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Sapphire. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic, Classic for sale, write us at info@classicautomall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.